Father, we're so thankful to be in your presence this morning. The Bible says as there was dew on the ground, in the morning stars began to erase in the sky, that you were interceding on our behalf. God, even this morning, not only did you paint this immaculate, incredible, awesome picture, but Father, in the midst of all that, you found me. On this place, you found me. And God, even this morning, you prepared your Spirit to minister. So across this place, Lord, as we lift up prayers to you, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would come and minister to us, that you would move among this place. Lord, let your mercy and your grace, the love that is ours through Christ Jesus, who endured the cross, scorning its shame, shedding His blood, that this morning that we might have confidence to come before you washed, clean, whole before you, not because of who we are, but because of Christ. So this morning, let your mercy reign in this place. Let grace be ours in abundance. Lord, we love you this morning. We know that you love us, but we've come here today to say we love you. Receive our praise and our worship today. Let our hearts be full. God, for those the hearts that are heavy this morning, I pray you break the chains of worry, of guilt, of sin, whatever it might be, that Lord Jesus, today you would set the captives free. Let us know freedom, because he whom Christ sets free is free indeed. Lord, across this place, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, twins, girls, for Ron and Kathy. Two girls, Father. Thank you, God, for their life in this family. We pray your grace as they spend a life together, loving each other. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray this week for those who've had surgeries. We think of Lisa and ask God you continue to touch her body. Thank you for your faithfulness. Others that are in the hospital, they're seeking answers, that are having tests. Roger and others, Father, would you touch their bodies? God, some have come this morning saying, Lord, I'm just seeking that you would heal me, that you would touch me. God, I believe in my faith that you will touch my body. I came this morning specifically, and Lord, I believe in your miracles. And so today, God, let your glory be evident in my life. For others, Lord, praying at this altar, they're saying, God, I need you. I need you in a way like you have no idea. So today, God, come to this place and touch my life. For others that are interceding, for people that aren't even here, they need you, Father. We lift them up to you. We pray for this community. Lord, this Blue Water area, this is our family. This is our home, this area. Let your Holy Spirit move in our community. We pray you'd revive hearts even now, Father, for people that woke up this morning, had no reason to get up other than saying, it's Sunday. Thank God it's Sunday. I can sleep in. I don't have to do anything. Lord, they have no idea of the grace and the hope that's ours in Christ. Lord, we pray and lift them up to you. Give them a blessing. Let them know that they're loved today. Let your Spirit revive us. For the men and women who serve overseas, God, keep them safe. Let them do what they need to do. But God, bring them home safely. Thank you for the freedom that's ours. The freedom to worship, the freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly. Lord, we exercise those freedoms. The freedom in a few weeks to vote. God, give us wisdom. We pray for our country. God, we thank you for this great nation. We pray that we might live in peace, for wisdom in how to vote, in all of the leaders that are there. God, we love you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We need you today. We say thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. As you make your way back to your seats, we're going to invite our ushers here to come forward. We're going to continue to worship the Lord in our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, for these gifts, we want to say thank you. Lord, for the food that's ours in abundance. We say thank you. For our family, our health, our life, thank you. Lord, there's so much to be thankful for today. For the sunshine, for the oxygen, for this beautiful day, for this church, thank you. Lord, I pray that every gift that's given today, that you'd receive it and use it for your glory, that we might touch our community. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for these gifts. May every giver know that we reap what we sow. May they know the joy of sowing today their gift. May they reap that in abundance out of joyful hearts and use it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Excuse me. There you go, sweetie. Well, it is good to have you out this morning. We're going to continue in our series. I have to say thank you to my wife last week who was preaching and shared a good word last week. Not easy to do. We've been married in the ministry for about 25 years, and I think that's the first time I've asked her to do that in a pulpit. And she's probably thinking that's hopefully the last time, but she did a great job and brought a good word. And today we're continuing our series. It's the least I can do. It's the least I can do. You know, the Bible says greater things are going to happen in our lives if we want them to. And today it's, I'm here, aren't I? You ever have anybody say that to you? I'm here, aren't I? I mean, it's kind of condescending. I'm here, aren't I? Somebody shows up to help, but they're no help at all. You ever have anybody do that? And you think, you know what? Why don't you just, if you didn't want to be here, just go home. And then they say, well, I'm here, aren't I? Not that they really want to be there. And you think, you know, it'd probably be better if you weren't here. Well, I'm here, aren't I? It's the least I could do. And the Bible says the least you can do. And Jesus very clearly says, greater things will you do if you have faith. And we've been talking about that in our series. And this morning, it's the least I can do. I'm here, aren't I? Some people wake up that way in the morning, don't they? Duh! It's Monday tomorrow. Back to school for the students. Back to work for you. It's Monday. You ever hear people, I hate Mondays. Oh, brother, this is for you then. Oh boy, get the tape. I hate Mondays. Or it's hump day, Wednesday. I just need to get over the hump. There are people who live their life this way, and it's like, I'm here, aren't I? That's kind of that condescending, or TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. I don't think they're saying, oh, thank God, it's Friday. And that's what they wake up to. That's their life. Their life is condescending. It's kind of the whole thing of, I really don't have anything to look forward to. The weekends, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'll tell you what, I want to live for more than that. One of my favorite movies of all time is Bill Murray in a movie called Groundhog Day. You know the show? He wakes up in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And it's Groundhog Day. Every day wakes up to the same day. And something happens to him in that, and I love it. He wakes up and it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And he comes to a realization, this day is never going to end. And there are some people who live their lives that way. They think this is just the same old routine over and over and over. And he becomes depressed. And he gets to the place where he kills himself. And then he realizes he can't die. He wakes up and it's all over again. Every day. There's some people who live their life that way. And that's too bad. Honestly, they wake up and there are Christians who I've met. Well, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but my life. I'm thinking, has your life met your Savior? And I'm not being condescending. Say, I understand bad things happen to good people. But folks, honestly, has your heart met your face? Have you realized that when you woke up this morning, it was a gift of God? It was a brand new day. You could do anything you want today. No matter what's happened to you yesterday. And we can get that attitude, though, of Punxsutawney and Bill Murray in the movie. Oh, it's such a horrible day. And I'm thinking to myself, Really? I look forward to Mondays. I look forward to staff meeting on Monday mornings. I really do. I look forward to hump day on Wednesdays because I know on Wednesdays we got the team thing happening in the youth center. I look forward to Fridays because it's supposed to be my day off. I look forward to weekends because I get to spend it with you. I look forward, honestly, to my days. And I'm not being sarcastic. I love it. Because why? Because every day is a gift of God. You see, you might say, oh, I hate Mondays. You won't hate Mondays if you get the news, like I heard a young lady this week say, 2 months. That's what the doctor said. And there's nothing we can do. Can I tell you something? She cherishes Mondays and every other day that she can have just one more day. And I'll tell you, you get the news that you've only got a couple months to live, I'll tell you, you are thanking God it is Friday, and you're thanking God for today and every day. And I think of the country western song that was written years ago called One More Day. If I could just have one more day with you. I would love to have one more day with Mom. I would love to have one more day with Dad. Just one more day. You see, I'm not just here. I'm not going to live in the least I can do. God has given me this day. I've got 84,600 seconds every day to enjoy. And every one of them will be spent very, very well. You see, we meet a young lady who's just like this in the Bible. In John chapter 4, our story is this young lady, you're going to get to know her this morning. She's the woman at the well. And she wakes up and her days are the same thing over and over again. Can you relate to her? She gets up every day. She grabs, I would imagine, possibly something like this. She grabs this large wooden stick, and at the end of each stick, she has her water jugs, her buckets. And she makes her way up that mountain to Jacob's well, and she dips in and she gets water every day. And her life is the same thing over and over and over. She's caught in Groundhog Day. And she knows it's a horrible day, and she'd love to put an end to it. In fact, when we read a little bit more into this story, we understand that this woman, as she walks through town, she's probably hearing stuff as she's passing people. Stuff like, oh, there she goes. There goes that woman. That woman will sleep with anybody in this town. That woman. And she knows it because the Bible says she's had five husbands. She's had a lot of men. And the man she's now with is not her own husband. And so she makes her way through town. And she's heard the talk. She might even go to the synagogue and people in the church. That lady, watch your husband. And so we understand that story. We know that as she makes her way and she dips to get the water each day and she puts that on her callous shoulders and she makes her way back down the hill into the village, she probably hears this. She lives in Groundhog Day. She has nothing to live for. She's religious, but she has no hope. Nobody cares for her. You know anybody like that? She hates Mondays. She hates hump day. She doesn't thank God it's Friday. She has nothing great. And I meet people who talk about Jesus Christ as though he's some far distant thing and their face has never met their heart. I meet people who talk about Jesus as if they've never met him, and yet they say, I'm a Christian and I believe. Folks, if Christ has changed you, it shouldn't be, oh, I hate Mondays. I can't wake up. I can't wait to wake up today. You see, this morning, I was so excited. I woke up about 5 o'clock this morning, and the sun wasn't up. I said, I'm going back to sleep. And the Lord said, no, you're not. So I sat there, and I watched the sun kind of crack through the windows. I looked at those crimson red trees, and I thought, what an awesome day, God. Thank you for this gift. He said, there's more. I said, there's more. I love you, God. There is so much more in this life. People wake up, they don't understand. You know, I look at that and I see what's in the Bible, and I don't understand how a Christian can look at what's in Scripture and then walk around going, woe is me. Because what I see in Scripture is so contrary to what any Christian can have to walk around in a woe is me attitude. What I find is this. I spent a good portion of my life without Christ.
And when Christ came, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead for you. This is the same God who planted and painted you on this incredible universe on this planet and gave you life and hope. This is the same God who took your sins upon the cross, died for you, rose from the dead, and sits to forgive you of all of your sins. And when people say to me, I don't know what to do today. And I'm thinking, I know what to do today. I'm going to walk in the most incredible epic story that's ever been written. You see, this morning when we talk about greater things, I'm not just here today. I'm in the story of my life. I love blockbusters. I love epic stories. But what happens is people go into church like they go into a movie theater. I know I've shared this before. You walk in, here it is, here's the movie for a few dollars, and then out they go and they say, hey, that was a great show. Can I tell you something? Today it's not a great show. You're the stars of the movie. You're the ones that God wants to be a part of the production. You see, when I walk in and I see what's happening in Scripture, when I see God walking on water, when I see God raising people from the dead, touching their lives, changing their marriage, moving and changing, I spent 7 years of my life stoned or drunk every single day that I can remember. And when Christ came to me in a little church in a cornfield in the middle of South Dakota, and some pastor you've never met told me about Jesus Christ, and the chains fell off of my life, and I was set free. See, when I wake up in the morning, I'm living in an epic story. Every day of my life is a gift from God. And when I wake up in the morning and I get that cold air that gets into my lungs, I say, thank you, God, for today. Today is a blockbuster, and I can't wait to see what happens. See, I don't want to live in the least things. Oh, this day, I just want to get through this day. I don't want to just get through this day. I want to live in this day. My kids are totally into video games, and maybe some of yours are too. And you know why kids are into video games? Parents sometimes curse it. Now, you got to have a balance, but you know why kids are into video games? They're into video games because in the video games, they get to be the hero of the story. And if we don't offer them something in this life to be a hero for, they're going to find it in a fantasy. Let us find it right here in the Word of God that calls us to rise up and to make a difference in this world, to bring goodness and glory of God to a world that needs hope and light in a dark place. Now that's something worth living for. Let's get them off the video games and living it in real life. They can be the heroes. It's an epic story. I want to tell you how you can be epic this morning and walk in greater things. I don't know about you, but you don't need Arnold Schwarzenegger. God's looking for a hero in this place, and I want to be a part of that. Epic. Epic is a word that's used that says it's way beyond normal. Epic. Something that's incredible. This morning, God invites you to an epic lifestyle, and I want to be a part of that. E-P-I-C. The first thing is this woman is finds out that she's going to be a part of something epic. Because here she is. She doesn't know you and you don't know her, and it's 2,000 years later and her story is recorded for you and the world to know. Now that's a blockbuster. Who would have ever thought that woman walking down the street called every kind of expletive that a woman can be called, who lived with at least 5 men and now 6, would be a hero in your story? God can make heroes out of anybody, and He's just looking for someone today. The first thing is epic, is the E. An encounter, this woman had an encounter with the Epiphany. Now, you probably know Epiphany from Easter and Christmas, the Epiphany, the story of the revelation. But an Epiphany, you know what an Epiphany is? It's, someone will say, just this week I had an Epiphany. I looked at someone and said, I think I just had an Epiphany. And they said, what do you say? And I shared my thoughts, and they said, you're strange. Where do you come up with those kind of thoughts? And I said, I think God gives them to me because I don't know where they come from. Because you got to understand something. I spent a better part of my life burning almost every brain cell out that I had in my brain. and doing it on a regular basis multiple times a day. And when Christ came into my life, I said as a testimony, I said, God, you can renew not just the heart, but you can change the mind. And he says, as my ways are higher than your ways, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, look at this verse. This is beautiful. God says, as my ways are higher, the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than yours, so are my thoughts. I don't know the thoughts of God, but God knows them. And when he came into my life, he took a burned out stoner that had in pre-law, my first semester, I had a 1.5 GPA. I was pretty much flunking out of pre-law. When you don't go take your finals, it's usually a problem. My next semester, I did much better at a 1.6. And I still have the transcripts. I keep them in my office. The next semester, a 1.7. Because I had spent so many years, and I was continuing to spend so many years doing what I was doing. Christ came into my life. See, when you have an epiphany, you have an encounter with the epiphany. This woman had an encounter with Christ. When Christ shows up, look what she says in the Bible, in your verse. Jesus walks up and says, can I have a drink? Look at what she says to him. She looks at him, a man, and she says in verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Look at what Jesus said. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water. And she says, are you greater than Jacob? Isn't that a great line? Is he? He's sitting there thinking, am I greater than Jacob? Are you kidding me? Here's an epiphany for you. You're having an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God himself, who planted you on planet Earth that you couldn't find with a pin on a map in this universe, who plays 700,000 universes that we know of that you couldn't even find this universe on the head of a pin if you wanted to. And he knows you by name, and you're talking to the one who laid it all out and goes well beyond that in the billions of galaxies, endless, without end. And he's standing there, and she says, are you great? And I don't know how I didn't just burst out laughing, saying, let me invent something. Let me just kind of, boom, something right. That's why we're not Jesus. Because I would have probably done something just crazy. I would have had an epiphany. And she has an epiphany. Are you greater than Jacob? I want you to know this morning, you want to live an epic lifestyle? You need to know this, that you have a Savior who is greater than Jacob. You have a Savior that's greater than Wall Street. You have a Savior that's greater than Al-Qaeda. You have a Savior that's greater than divorce. You have a Savior that's greater than Satan. You have a Savior that's greater than death. You have a Savior that's greater than your sin. You have a Savior who is greater than everything you can name and anything you can imagine, and he's living in your heart today. How can you wake up in the morning and say, I hate Mondays? You ought to wake up in the morning and say, man, what are you going to do today? You need a hero in this story? Right here. I'll be a volunteer. Put me in the story. We have a Savior. You have an encounter with the epiphany. I had 20 firefighters go through Judgment House with me. Two different times, two different shifts, so 40 different firefighters. I thought I was just meeting the captain of the fire department so we could take him through so we make sure our event is safe to show him the building. He showed up and a fire truck pulled in to the school. I said, there's a fire truck. Oh, it must be a call. They're going by. They turned around and pulled up. A second fire truck showed up. A third fire truck showed up. Six fire trucks showed up. Six huge fire trucks showed up, and all these firefighters got out. They all wanted to see the Judgment House, to go through it, to know it. As they came through they came up to the building, I'm thinking two things. One, wow. And number two, this is great advertisement. I couldn't have called and said, hey, can you guys park your trucks out here so we can get some advertisement? No. I told one of them, I said, put the ladder truck out here, we'll hang a sign. They came through the building, and then the next day, 6 more trucks from the second division and 20 more firefighters. Today, 5. I've got the third shift coming at 5 o'clock to take them through the building. As they're walking through the building, they're saying to me as we go through 3 stories, 100-year-old school, 16 rooms, all the hallways, the entire storyline from heaven to hell and to heaven again. Where did you come up with this? I said, I had an epiphany. Okay, you had something, all right. They go, this is awesome. We're coming through this, and we're bringing our kids out. If you say, I'm not coming through this. I hate spiders. I hate this. I don't like this. And I think God is awesome. Because as His ways and thoughts are higher than mine, He comes into my life, and I had an encounter with the epiphany. The one who knows all dwells within me by His Holy Spirit because He loves me. And I'm in an epic story. The God of this universe is not my co-pilot. He's completely behind the wheel. And I'll tell you, that's a confident place to live, okay? That's the epiphany. The second is the P, the pursuit of His purpose. There's a lot of people that wake up like this woman who walks, grabs her water buckets, and goes and does exactly what she did yesterday and has no direction and could really care less about getting water at a well, but she has to do it. It seems to be her job. She goes there every day. It's something she does. It's a chore. It's a job. It's something she does. What you do every day is your purpose. But let me ask this. Do you wake up in life thinking, I've got to go to school today. This is not fun. I see some of your Facebooks, by the way, while you're in school. While you're in school. Only 2 more hours. Before we pick on the kids, some of the adults who are at work, I see your Facebook status. Only 2 more hours. And I typed in the other day just thinking, really? And I put, I like donuts. And I got more response from that than when I put my scripture on the week before. People, we need to pursue a purpose. No, we need to pursue His purpose. The woman said this to Jesus, would you give me a drink and I won't have to keep coming back here for more? Can I tell you something? She still had to come back and get water. That's not what she was talking about. You still have to go to work. You still have to go to school. What she was saying is this. I want your purpose. I want springs of water welling up inside of me. I want to be at school and go, I'm at school not to learn the Pythagorean theorem over and over again in 12th grade. I'm at school because God has put me in an epic story that I am His messenger to entire school that needs to know that Jesus Christ is awesome. I'm at work not to type on a computer or to pump gas or to push a pencil or whatever you do, not just to save and work at that place, but to let people know no matter where you are, you take Christ into the adventure of your life. That's what I do. When I'm doing that, I'm pursuing His purpose. Let me show you Ephesians 2:10. This is a great verse. You should memorize this. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's Christ workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, stop. We are God's workmanship. God made me. That's not it. In the Greek, which, by the way, I got all A's in for 2 years. The workmanship is the Greek word poema. We get the English word poem or story. We are God's story. We are His poetry alive. He is writing a beautiful story, and I was created to be His story. And the Greek word to do good works is this. You want the literal translation. It's not good works. It's heroic things. That, now let's read that the way it's written in the actual Greek. For we are God's story, created to be heroes. God needs a hero in the story. He's looking for heroes, and He wants us to be a part of that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And so God is doing this story in us, and He wants us to be a part of it. I want to be a part of His will, knowing when I wake up in the morning, here's the cool thing. When I woke up this morning, you know what's great? My story was written. Psalm 139 says, "Before one day came to pass, all of my days were written in God's book. Before time began, God wrote a story." When I choose to be a part of God's will, walking as a Christian, as I do that, I'm walking in that story. My brother Steve here, this morning, Steve, I turn in this chapter 47, just because I'm 47, and I look at chapter 47 that God wrote before time began. Steve is there. It says, Steve is going to be in church with you. And it's in chapter 47 of my life, because obeying God, I get to be a part of His story. And reading His story, He opens up His book and He goes, "There's Pastor Mitch." And on that day in October, we're both in each other's book. And every one of you are in my story, in my book. There's an epic story going on in every one of my days. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and see the next chapter. Tomorrow's going to change. If that's the Lord, I'll talk to Him. We're in an epic story of our lives. And to know that God brought us together. I mean, what are the odds? What were the chances of all of us ever even being together? As I sat in my college dorm room my sophomore year with gravity inversion boots, hung upside down in a bar in my drop ceiling with a 3-foot bong named Bertha and an F-15 fighter mask smoking Colombian gold with two roommates who were football players from Iowa, that I would ever be standing in October in 2010 preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. This is a blockbuster, and I'm excited to be a part of it. See, God can change us. And there's a woman, and she walks down the street. There's that whore. I'm sorry, can we use that word? I'm sorry, people were talking about her. There's that adulterous slut. I'm sorry. Did that offend you? Every day of her life, of her adult life, it seems, this woman is walking down the road, and everyone in town knows she's had 5 husbands, and now she's sleeping with whose? And Jesus encounters her, and she said, "I'm thirsty. I don't want to keep coming back here." In other words, change my life. If you have that power, give me a drink. I'm thirsty. Have you ever been thirsty in your heart? Change something, or I will always be this person that I hate in the morning. Where's my car again? What did I do to whom again? Why do I keep... God, I'm thirsty. I'm going to pursue You. That's what He does. He pursues. He pursues me. When I met my wife, I pursued her. I love sports. Don't talk to me on Saturdays. My wife called one day and said, "Let's go on a date." I said, "I can't, I'm studying." She said, "Let's go on a date." I said, "I really have to study." And my goal was a 4.0 to show that God does heal. And I got the 3.8. I didn't get the 4.0, but God changed my life. And when I met her, she said, "Let's go on a date." I did like her a lot. And she... I said, "I had to study." Well, there was a ball game, a basketball game going on, and, well, I had to take a study break. I went over to the gym. She couldn't get a hold of me, and she drove to the campus and found me in the gym, not studying. And she said, "Me or basketball?" And she walked out. And I went, we have to talk about this right now? I walked out of that gym. I chased her to her car. And I said, you. I wrote poetry to her that I will not repeat to you. I said and did things that pursued her with everything that I had, including sports and everything, just to lay it aside, saying, I want more than anything you. I pursued her. Twenty-5 years later and 5 wonderful children, I'm still pursuing with everything. God says, Jesus said, the word he uses, God will take the worshipers who, the Father seeks those who worship in spirit and truth. The word seek is the word pursue. My God is pursuing me with everything he has. He has left heaven, set down a crown. He laid down his robe. The angels who sing with 6 wings, 2 that they cover their face, 2 that they fly, and 2 that they cover their feet. And while they fly, they sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and who is and who is yet to come. The angels sing that in heaven. And God set it all down through his Son, Jesus Christ, and was born a mere baby because he pursued us. He loves us with everything. And because of that, the eye of being epic is this. He invites us to the incredible. He looks at this woman and he said, you're going to worship in spirit and in truth. And he invites her to the incredible. And this woman looks at him, and for the first time in her life, something begins to change. God's inviting you to the incredible today. I believe in the incredible. And God says, you want to be a part of something? You don't need special effects in Hollywood. You don't need Arnold Schwarzenegger. You don't need Rambo. You don't need all these things in Hollywood. God invites you to be a part of something that I still believe is true. He invites you into a miraculous life that is an epic story unlike you've ever seen. He still walks on water. He still moves mountains. He still raises the dead. He still heals families and marriages. And he still changes a drug addict kid hanging upside down and can still use him for his glory and give him a life and a purpose. God still does that. He invites you to the incredible. I love the movie The Incredibles. It's not because of my kids. My kids, I have to watch all the cartoons. The Incredibles is mine. I love the movie The Incredibles. A man who is a has-been, who nobody wants a hero anymore in his society, and they hang up the suit. But what does he do? He sneaks out at night to do the incredible, because he says that's who he is. And I want you to know, if Christ is in you, that is who you are. You are the Incredibles. You can't help but find heroic things to do. You want to love your neighbor. You want to get some soup to someone who's hungry. You want to change people's lives. You would love to do the heroic. And God invites you into that on a daily basis. He invites us to the heroic. And I want to let you know that God wants us to be a part of that. He seeks that. The last one is this, to carry our cross. The Bible says that the woman, let me wrap it up this way. The Bible says, and the woman, you don't see this there, but you've got to go down page. When it's done, it says, I who speak to you am he. In verse 27 and 8, it says this. The disciples came back. Isn't this great? That's kind of embarrassing. That's like me, if I'm out witnessing, maybe I'm sitting in a bar, which I don't. That's not a place that I witness personally, but if you do, God bless you. I think it's rude to people who are out trying to have a drink. It's rude to people who aren't going to remember what you said in the morning. It's silly for me to be in there, being that I don't want to be around alcohol for myself just because of my past. So I don't do that. Now, if you want to do that, that's great. But if you happen to see me doing something like this with someone who is of ill repute, I've been on streets in Toronto witnessing on Church Street where most of the prostitutes are, and I've talked to people there. I talked to a woman there one time, and she said to me, I do this to pay for my daughter's Christian education. She's a missionary. I said, what does she think about it? She said, she doesn't know. She thinks I'm a stripper. She doesn't like that, but that's what I tell her. I said, so you hook for a living, you do this for a living, to pay for your daughter's missionary work. And she said, yes. I said, how does God sort that out in the kingdom of heaven? Daughter's praying, God support me financially on this missionary trip. And mom's praying, God support me to support her. And we had an interesting discussion. See, life isn't always so easy. And for this woman, it's all she knew. She says, I'm going to retire here in a couple years. She must have been in her 40s. I thought, what a horrible thing. The woman at the well, that's her. I met her. The only thing she could do to support her family that she knew. And I tried to share the love of God with her, and she kind of looked at me. She goes, I know all that. My daughter shares that with me all the time. Now, you walk up to me, and you see me standing there on Church Street by myself, witnessing to this lady. And you go, oh, boy, what's Pastor doing? And the disciples walk up, and they go, you say something. You say, I'm not saying anything. It says nobody wanted to say anything, but you know what they were thinking, because it says so. And then it says, the woman left her jars. She took her jars and she set them down on the ground. And for the first time in her life, she was free. The weight was off her shoulders. You know what it's like to have Jesus set you free? I can tell you. He can set you free. The chains that bind you, the chest that's tight in the middle of the night that aches because of the things that you have to think of and all the things going on in your life because you have to solve them. And she had to solve everything in her life. And the man she was with was not her husband. And a man showed up who knew how to love a woman. His name was Jesus. And he, for the first time, was a man who could help. She set her buckets down and she got up and she was free. You see, that's what it means to carry your cross, to set down what you have and to pick up what He has. That's what it means to carry a cross. See, I know at Easter time you'll see a lot of people in different countries carrying a cross. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. Carrying the cross means to sacrifice who you are so that He can be who He is in your life. See, maybe a little less Clark Kent. And a whole lot more Superman. Because he walks on water. And maybe you'll walk on water someday. See, I believe God still commands the waves and the wind. I still believe He heals the sick. I still believe He changes lives. I still believe that. And a little less Mitch, a little more Jesus means I'm setting my buckets down. And I'm taking up the cross. More of Him. Less of me. That's pretty simple. And what happens when that takes place? This woman ran into town. This woman ran into town. She ran into town. All the people going, oh, here she comes. What? Without her buckets. Without her weight. And something different. Something different this time. Something on her face was different. She came in and those deep crevices and those wounds of life and the wear and tear. Something different. There was joy unspeakable and full of glory. And she walked across into that town and she became the first evangelist for Jesus. She began telling everybody about who she had met. And the whole town went, wow. She went from being this, she went from bland to grand. That's what Jesus does. He changes us. You want to be a part of a story? You want to walk out of here and say, I didn't go to church. I didn't go to a movie. I didn't pay $5. Hopefully you gave more than that. It's okay to say that. I don't know what you guys give. I hope it's more than just a good movie and you'll walk out and go, I hope the movie next week is going to be a good one. Forget it. You're the hero. It's your story. I'm just here to be a part of it. It's my story. It's your story. When you walk out of here, God wants you to be the hero. You see, you might be like that woman, just ordinary. You might be like Bill Murray, Groundhog Day, over and over. You might be like these men. You don't know them. In fact, these guys only made, as they go to work each day, and I close with this story, they only made $358 a month. And they'd go to work. You don't know them. In fact, the world would have never met these 33 men, except on August 5th, there was an earthquake in Chile. And 33 men who go to work every day, who are bland, Groundhog Day over and over again, God has a story. And these 33 men, 700,000 tons of rock fell in on them. Let me say that again. An earthquake, 700,000 tons collapsed, and 33 men spent the next 69 days in 650 square feet of cave. And I love it because God is all about the epic story. And you saw their rescue recently on television. And can I tell you something? I don't care how deep you've been buried. God can raise you up out of anything. 2,100 feet, 33 men, one at a time, a half an hour each in a little pod. And they said this, before we come up, send us razors and shampoo. We want to look good when we come up. And these men went from making $350 a month, nobody in the world knowing them, day in and day out. God has changed. Their life has changed forever. These men sit with kings and potentates. They speak in stadiums packed at soccer fields. There's going to be books and movies. Their income will never be the same. Their lives will never be the same. They have been part of an epic story. And when God wants to move a mountain, 700,000 tons, my God still moves mountains. So you want the miracle, you want the heroic, join in the story of your life. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior and let your heart and your face get on the same page. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, and it's Monday, wake up and say, wow, today's a story, and I'm the hero. God, show me where something good needs to happen. I'll be a part of that. Welcome to It's the Least I Can Do. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, as we pray this morning, let this be our benediction. We pray, as we go from this place, that not even the earth, 700,000 tons, not even death, not demons, not angels, nor past nor present, nothing can separate us from the love that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. May we go today to know that you will do abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine. May we be the heroes of the story that you have written. Let our lives be forever changed because we choose to be a part of that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.